All right. We had a little snafu, but it works out because we've got a chatting church, and that's a good thing, right? You guys just chat away, just snack away. That's great. All right. So we are, by the way, I'm Pastor Clifton, for those of you that don't know me. We are going through a series right now, an uncommon series. Literally, it's uncommon. Uncommon faith, it was what we did first, then uncommon community, and now it's up to me, uncommon action. So if you are new here today, it's a banger, all right? It's going to be a little a little different than even than I usually give. So uncommon action. So God commands us to do some uncommon things, right? Prayer is somewhat uncommon. Praise, fasting, baptism. You know, we dunk somebody under the water, and if their head doesn't go all the way down, then we slam it back down. And now they can come up. Communion, right? These are somewhat uncommon. And other uncommon things that we can do that are they're more related to justice, like the justice that God wants in the world, right? So serving the poor. We want to help the orphan and the widow. We want to speak out for the unborn and for the marginalized. I'm going to focus on something different, though. I'm going to focus on something that is also quite uncommon. And it's probably the most dreaded, and it's probably the most needed. And that is evangelism. Evangelism. I'm going to focus on evangelism today. Our uncommon action is going to be evangelism. So what I'm going to try and do is take evangelism from abject terror for us. You know, like you're in the middle of the ocean and a great white shark is barreling down towards you, that kind of fear. I'm going to try and take it down a few notches for you, okay? So let me start by sharing something that happened to me recently. I went on a youth group missions trip I wasn't the youth. Oh, I wish. I led the youth group to a missions trip, and this was up in the cities to a sister church, and they did what they call mission to the city, and it's essentially the same thing that we do for Connection Days. It's basically identical. And so what I did there for 3 days is morning and then afternoon, I would just go out and share the gospel. And a lot of the teens did the same thing. And you know what? When you go out, right, you fear that, I fear, that my tendency is to fear that I'm going to be rejected. I mean, they're just going to be ticked off that I even said anything to them. they're just going to have this disgust. You know, you're just such a weirdo. And that's the fear. And you might have other fears, but you know what I found out? I talked with probably, or like I approached and talked with probably 50 people. I'm not sure. There was a lot. And not one time did someone get mad at me. Not once. If you go up to somebody, right, and you smile at them, and you genuinely care for them, then they're going to see that. They're going to see that in you. And God's going to use that. He can use that. And so we can all breathe a little easier. Now we can talk about evangelism. There might be a few sour pusses out there, okay? But the vast majority are not like that when you come up to them in love. Okay, so first off, we're talking about evangelism. What is evangelism? Well, technically, you see it there, the proclamation of the gospel to unbelievers. You're sharing the gospel. What's the gospel in a nutshell? It's that Christ died for the sins of the world. He was buried. He rose again. And that if you put your faith in that, then you'd have eternal life. So that's evangelism, kind of in that technical sense. But I want to actually make it a little broader. And this helps us with our evangelism. So I think that when you evangelize, people It's a statistic is that it takes like 9 times for someone to have an interaction around the gospel, around Christ, before they ever become a believer. So I think evangelism looks bigger. So instead, it might just be you're out picking up trash. It might be that you prayed for somebody. It might be that you're the person that when you tried to talk to them and they said, like what they said to me, when I'd say, hey, can I pray for you? They'd say, I'm okay. That's as bad as it got. That's as worse as it got for me, right? And you might be the person that goes, like I did. I said, okay, no problem. Have a good day. Right? They may not have ever had that from a Christian. So what I'm saying is evangelism can be bigger. Because what we're trying to do is till the soil. We're trying to prepare their heart, right? They might have a hard heart. People have hard hearts toward God, or they have hard hearts toward the church. You know this. And so what we're trying to do is get the soil of their heart ready and prepared so that when somebody does come and they are able to share, then that person can respond to the Lord and the harvest can happen. But how do you get there? How do you become a soul winner, right? How do you become a person who shares their faith and helps someone go from death to life, from darkness to light, from condemnation to salvation? How do you do that? Well, I want to help you today, and I want to give you 3 ways. So the first one is we need to have an uncommon love. So God loves people. He has a heart for people, and he wants us to have a heart for people. He wants to connect with his heart and to love people, to really see them as precious, right? To value them so highly. Now, speaking of valuing, I just have to do this one more time and share a World Cup illustration. It was just a few weeks ago, okay? Last one. I mean, I feel this burning desire to educate Americans, right, on the greatest sport in the world and the greatest tournament in the world. I mean, you know, like in the world of soccer, Americans are like, they're like in the Stone Age, you know? So I'm going to try and help out just a little bit. Okay, so the World Cup is, for a lot of professional players, it's like the pinnacle. It's like the highest. They want that. And I think part of the reason is because it happens every 4 years. It's obviously extremely difficult to attain. In fact, is it only 8 teams, I think, ever? So 8 countries have ever won it, right? And so it's very difficult. If you do win it, right? And of course, it's for their country, and they want to play for their country. So it's really important to them. If you do win it, then you get to lift the 18-karat gold, solid gold World Cup, right? That which was made in 1974, and that's actually not the original because the first one was stolen and never recovered. There you go. Yeah, I just found that out just a few days ago. But it's highly valued, very treasured, right? And there's lots of other things that are highly valued and highly treasured in our world, right? Some people don't care about that at all. But all of those things, they pale in comparison to a human soul. Right? God so values every human, every person. Every soul has immense eternal potential. And for those souls that don't know him, right, they don't have a relationship with him. Their sins are not forgiven, and they're under the wrath of God. Then they're going to be separated from God forever in hell. And so it's a big deal. And so I think the question for us, right, and you just have to work through it, right? You got to work through it. I know I do, is do we care? Do you think of them? You know, do you pray for the lost? Do you like feel for them? Do you have a passion for them? And I am trying to grow in this. I know that it's not as much as it could be. And I remember when God did a work in my heart in this area. I was in youth group. It was a youth group missions trip. I was 15 or 16, something like that, and I'm from Ohio. We went down to Kentucky, southern Kentucky, in the bluegrass area, and we helped out a camp. We were doing manual labor, trying to get it fixed up for them, and we would meet up at night, and we would just kind of debrief on the day and kind of have a devotional, that kind of thing. And one of my best friends, he didn't come that night, and he was in his room, and he had locked the door, and he was praying, and it was because he felt the guilt. He felt the sorrow that he didn't really care about unbelievers, about people that didn't know Jesus. And we're all kind of talking about this, and actually, I remember the guy that was talking. He was right across from me. It was actually his brother, and he was saying about his need, his want to share, his want to care about those who don't know Christ. And I'm hearing this, and boy, the Lord is working on my heart, and I am really getting worked up because I sense that I don't really have a love like that. And eventually, it was just too much. So I just stood up right in the middle of it, and I walked out of the room, down the hallway, and immediately I just fell down onto my knees because I was overcome. And I just started crying and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I haven't loved like you want me to love. And you know, I got back up, and I went to my room, and I fell on my knees again, and I just said, Lord, sorry, sorry, sorry. And the Lord heard me, and of course my sins were all forgiven, but I just wanted to be right with him and have my heart in a right place. And the Lord did a good work in my heart that day to help me to begin to care, to see the lost, and to recognize that they're his lost children and he wants them back. And Romans 9, the scriptures talk about this. In Romans 9, 1 through 3, Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies to me through the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the benefit of my brothers and sisters, my own flesh and blood. He really, really cared. And then this next scripture, Matthew 9, 36-38, this is talking about Jesus. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So do the lost matter in your daily life, in your weekly life, your monthly, your yearly? Do they matter? So the Lord loves you so much, okay? And he wants you, if you know him, to spread that love. That's why he gave it to you, so you could spread that love out. And that's what he's doing in our hearts. So first, you want to have an uncommon love. Second, an uncommon labor. So what does that mean? That means the Lord wants us to go. He wants us to get out of here. Get out of this church. Get out of your house. We got to get out to people, right? We got to reach them. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And of course, I know that the make disciples is the command, but he's saying, as you go, you got to be going. And so this is the New Testament pattern that we see. It started with Jesus. He goes out for basically 3 years continually. He's just going out, right? Then he sends out his disciples, even during that time and later. Then we see in the book of Acts, constantly they're going out, right? Peter and Philip and Paul and Timothy and Silas and Barnabas. And then it talks about in the Thessalonian church, their faith went all out. And of course, this famous scripture, Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Sorry. Got to get better at that. It's not what you know, but what you sow that matters. It's not what you know, but what you sow. Right? James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So I could tell you all about playing an instrument, right? I could tell you, you know, the note that you have to hit and then how long you have to hold that note and when you're supposed to wait. And I could tell you all about that. I mean, I actually can't play an instrument. But you get the idea. I could give you the information. But if I only gave you the information, right, and then you didn't go out and do it, right? You didn't go out and practice it. You didn't go out and sow what you know. Then you wouldn't be good at the instrument. You didn't practice. You didn't do it. And so we're to take what we know and go and sow. Okay, uncommon love, uncommon labor, and uncommon lives. So, what are we supposed to do? What do we got to do? I told you this was going to be different. We got to train. We're going to train and equip ourselves. Anything that you're going to be good at in life, you're going to have to take time. It's going to take time and effort, right? You just think back in your life. Anything that you really grew at, you gained skill and you became proficient. It took time and it took effort. Kind of like the instrument, right? If I just tell you about evangelism, but you don't go out and play the notes and hit the keys and move the strings of evangelism, if you will, it's going to be really hard to be effective and fruitful. Okay, so what I want to do is tell you a little bit about training, kind of give you a picture of what that's like, and I'm going to do that by having Corbin come up because he went on the mission trip. And, you know, when he went, it was challenging. I mean, honestly, it was probably challenging for all of us. But I'm going to let him share. I'm going to let him share. Can we use this mic? Oh, that mic. Yeah. So, I didn't think of the mic thing. It would be weird if he had to, like, speak right into it the whole time. But I'm going to let him share just a little bit about how he grew and learned about sharing the gospel.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Corbin. And yeah, I'd just like to go through some of the stuff that I did at MTOC. So like he was talking about, you can do, like they had training and things like that at MTOC. Actually going out and doing the evangelism, watching other people do it, that was extremely helpful. And I just want to share with you some of the things that I learned through just being out there and doing it. So one of those things that at least I struggled with was I would try to wait for the perfect moment. I would look around and maybe at a park, and I would be like, okay, is that person on their phone? Do they look like they're a person of peace? Like all these different things. And you just have to realize sometimes you just got to go up to them. Like obviously if someone's super busy, you might not want to do that, but you can't always wait. I can't always wait for the perfect opportunity. Also, I'd never really done this before. So I started by going out with someone who had already done this, who already had some experience in doing the evangelism. And I just stood there while they shared, right? And that really benefited me to see someone with experience actually going out and doing this, right? So for me, one of the things that I started to grow, I was going out with people who had experience. I started to grow, and one of the things I realized was for me, it was tricky to start the conversation, like to actually go up to the person. Just that first interaction was tricky for me. But once I was actually talked to them, it became a lot easier as the conversation progressed. I don't know exactly why that was for me, but that's one of the things that helped me. And also, just during this time, it was encouraging to see others going out and doing this, sharing, and being able to pray for them. That was great to be able to do that. Like, there's times when you don't really see anybody. You got a larger group in a small park, and there's nobody else for you to go talk to, so you're just praying over that person, right? And then the conversation that they're having. That was good. I think it was the last day. I was actually able to go out and share with a woman. That was great. I was able to pray for her, then go all the way through the gospel. However, then she sort of threw me a curveball, and basically she had said, it appeared she had not known what the gospel is about, and then I went through it, and she said, oh yeah, I know all that. Okay, fantastic. I fumbled a little bit. I wasn't sure exactly what to say, and eventually I was just like, all right, you have a good day. Check out Hometown Church, because there was no church she was going to. So again, going through that, just having that experience, I do feel better prepared now. That was great. The benefits of this were immense. It was a fantastic experience to just go out there and have to trust the Lord. To know that I'm going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. And you're going to be able to use that. And honestly, it was, as Pastor Charlie said, there's times when you're just going to have to go out there. You're going to be scared to death. And you're just going to say, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to take this step. It was great to be able to do that. Last thing here, I never saw anybody, I personally never brought anybody to Christ. I never saw anybody saved personally by me going out. But I learned to not be discouraged, because I am simply planting seeds. I'm just trying to be faithful and share with a person. God is going to do the real work in their lives. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. That's good. That's really how it is, right? You're just out there trying to get it done, trying to learn, trying to grow in it. And so that's what the training is about. And Paul talks about that. He says in 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, he says, rather train yourself in godliness. For the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So, when are we going to do this? The plan is to do it this week at Connection Days. We're going to have lots of opportunity. I'm going to try to help teach you and train you on a particular method. There's different ways to share the gospel. They're great. I just want to try and get you in a lane so you can go, okay, how do I go about doing this? Right? And the method is called the Time to Revive method. And there's a simplicity about it, and that's good. And so that's what I'm going to use, because I want you to be able to share it effectively. I'm not going to go through all the details of that now, because we're going to do that then. We're going to go through the training then. Plus, I don't really have the time. And furthermore, I want to be able to give you the training, give you the information, right? And then go and do it and do the training, because that's the best way to do it. And so we have that opportunity at Connection Days. So come on out. I mean, God's going to work. I know it. I know he's going to work. You know how I know he's going to work? Because he said he would. I mean, it's not that complicated. When we step out in faith, right? God will bless it. Now, he might not bless it exactly how we like it, but that's fine. God's going to bless it. So if you want to come and see him work, right, then come on out, because we're going to try and take some steps of faith. We're going to try and be faithful in some ways. And when we do that, God is faithful to us because he's a good father. So if you can't make it to Connection Days, that's okay. Get with me. We'll go through the training. I'll go out with you. I'll just train you and help you to do it, okay? Because I know some of you won't be able to go. That's okay. In closing, do you want to be a soul winner? Do you want to be a soul winner? Do you want to be a person who has brought someone to saving faith in Christ? May we not be empty-handed when we go to him. I don't have anybody. I didn't do that. I never did that. May we not be empty-handed on that day. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism. You don't have to have a special talent. You just have to be willing to open your mouth. And that's what I saw. That's what God did. He took people that you would never think that person, he was going to use that person. Right, you thought, oh, he's going to use that person. They're kind of great. They seem great over here. Right? No. God takes the weak things, and he does great things through them. But you have to be surrendered, and you have to trust him. Trust in the Spirit to work through you. And so what you can do is be one of those people. God has good plans for you. He's got good plans in store for you. And one of those is to be able to share your faith. And then you can be the person that tells them. So, come this week and do something uncommon in the best of ways and become a soul winner. All right, let's pray. Lord, it's a heavy hitter. I mean, this is possibly the most challenging thing that you have called us to, or at least for us, it's really, really difficult. And so would you help us? Would you just impart your mercy and your grace. Help us to take a little step and be a part of something where we can share about you, because you've done so much good for us. You've loved us so much. And now we can share with somebody else that love. Oh man, what a thing that would be, Lord. Would you do that in us? Would you help us to love in that way, be faithful, and use us and do great things to encourage us in this as well. And for those who maybe they don't know you, maybe they don't know you here today, I pray that they could come to trust you. They would come to believe in you. They would find that you really have died for their sins. You really do love them. You really raised from the dead, and you want to know them today. I pray they would not wait any longer. So, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Some of you might need prayer now. and you can do that right over here. There's going to be some people over here in the corner. And they will be able to pray with you. Otherwise, have a great Sunday.